Grace and peace to you from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text this morning is found in the Old Testament book of Daniel, chapter 7. It's reading verses 9 through 15. I continued to watch until thrones were set up, and the Ancient of Days was seated. His clothing was white as snow, and the hair on his head was like pure wool. His throne was flames of fire. Its wheels were blazing fire. A river of fire flowed out from his presence. Thousands upon thousands served him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated, and books were opened. I kept paying attention to the sound of the boastful words that the horn was speaking. I kept watching until the beast was killed, and its body was destroyed, and thrown into the burning fire. As for the rest of the beasts, their dominion had been taken away, but their lives were prolonged for a set period of time. I kept watching the night visions, and there in the clouds of heaven, I saw one like a son of man coming. He came to the Ancient of Days, and he was brought before him. To him was given dominion, honor, and a kingdom. All peoples, nations, and languages will worship him. His dominion is an eternal dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will not be destroyed. I, Daniel, my spirit was distressed within my body, and the visions in my head disturbed me. This is our text. Dear people of God, we're taken back in time a little bit in Daniel chapter 7, for Daniel chapter 5 was the last day of Belshazzar's reign. Daniel 7 then happened during his reign. It's a dream that Daniel had, not unlike the dream that King Nebuchadnezzar had back in Daniel chapter 2, where he saw a four-part statue of gold, silver, bronze, and iron. This is essentially the same dream with the same message. Now, in this dream, Daniel saw four beasts come out of the sea. Now, we remember that the Bible is one unit. It is God's one book. If you don't understand something that you read in the Bible, keep reading. Look elsewhere in the Bible, and the Lord will explain himself. See, in the book of Revelation, John saw a bunch of beasts. And they help us immensely understand what Daniel saw here. In fact, Daniel's dream is so simple. If you know a little bit of world history and a few Bible passages, it reads right off the page. Beasts coming out of the sea, according to Revelation 13, mean that these are future governments, world leaders that come into this world with world violence and terror. So the first beast that Daniel saw in his dream was a lion, which is the king of the beasts, that had the wings of an eagle. That's the king of the birds. These wings of this first beast were plucked off, and he had to stand on the earth like a man. But then he was given the heart and mind of a man. Now that's obviously the kingdom of Babylon, with Nebuchadnezzar being its ultimate king, whom you might remember was given his mind of a man back at the end of his reign. King Belshazzar is not part of this vision because he truly was a nothing of a king. The second beast was a bear, leaning heavily to one side, with three ribs in its mouth. The second beast is representative of the kingdom of the Medes and the Persians, which mainly relied on the Persian side of their kingdom for their strength. And all this kingdom did was kill people. They did not contribute much to the world and its culture. The third beast was a leopard with four wings. Now, leopards are fast, and a leopard with wings would be really fast. This is obviously Alexander the Great and the Kingdom of Greece. Alexander conquered the world by the time he was 30. That's pretty quick. This leopard beast also then had four heads. When Alexander died at age 33, with no more worlds left to conquer, his kingdom was divided between four of his generals who ruined everything. The fourth beast in Daniel's dream was different. It wasn't so much animal-like as it was just terrifying. This beast had iron teeth, which make it easy to see as the same as the iron legs that Nebuchadnezzar saw in his statue dream back in Daniel 2. And this terrifying beast just destroys everything. And it has 10 horns, Daniel says. This beast is Rome and the iron scepter that it ruled with. The horns were its kings. Julius Caesar and all the other Caesars who followed him would be the rest of the kings. They were the power, for a horn in scripture means power and rule, but not always in a bad way. In the book of Revelation, Jesus, the Lamb of God, is depicted as having seven horns on his head because of his power and his rule. Now this fourth beast that Daniel saw is a bit different because it changes. This beast had the 10 horns on its head, but then Daniel says that a little horn emerged and knocked some of the other horns out of the way, and this little horn started talking boastfully. Well, what in the world is that? What ruler came out of Rome later, after all the Caesars were gone, and took his place as a ruler in the world? And said horrible things against the Lord? This little horn in Daniel's vision is obviously the papacy in Rome. And that's where our text begins. In front of these four horrible beasts, the Ancient of Days appears. He is clearly God the Father, the maker of heaven and earth, ruler of all things, and a throne is set up for him. Now it says thrones, and those other thrones would be the thrones of the 24 elders as depicted in Revelation 4. And those 24 elders are representatives of the Old Testament and the New Testament church, 12 plus 12. But the main throne is for this Ancient of Days, here pictured like all the cartoons show, with the big white hair and the big fluffy white beard. And what the cartoons never show is the Ancient of Days throne of fire, from which flows a river of fire, and into which he throws those who oppose him. You never see that in the funny papers. And this throne of fire has wheels, which shows it to be the same throne and the same God that Ezekiel saw in his chapter 1. His throne is set up in front of the beasts in a way that shows you that the beasts were not expecting him. Just all of a sudden, he's there. And books are opened. What are the books? Well, these would be the book of life and the book of the deeds of men. If your name is written in the book of life, like yours is, then you're in. You get to go right into paradise with the Lord. If your name is not found in the book of life, like the unbelievers, well, then they look in the other book, the book of the deeds of men, and each person is judged according to his sins. And then they are thrown into the fire. The little horn on the last beast keeps talking up to the bitter end, which shows us that the papacy of Rome will exist in this world right up to the end, and will continue to oppress the church and make his terrible rules and heresies right up until Judgment Day. The other beasts we also see endure until Judgment Day, but in a much reduced role. They are controlled by other kingdoms who have risen up ever since their great heyday. Now, before the end comes, Daniel saw another person show up in his dream. And this one is so obvious to us who have heard anything about the life of Christ, but I can understand how Daniel would find this confusing. He says that this one looks like a son of man. Come on, that's too easy. Son of man, that's the name that Jesus used to talk about himself during his life and ministry. It's the term Jesus used to show everyone that he is the God of the Old Testament. Daniel says he came in the clouds of heaven. Remember how Jesus, on trial in front of the Sanhedrin, answered them when they asked him if he was the Christ? I am, Jesus said, and you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power and coming with the clouds of heaven. They knew exactly what Jesus was talking about. Daniel saw that the Son of Man was given dominion, honor, and a kingdom. Pilate asked Jesus if he was a king. And Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I would not be handed over to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here." Daniel saw that all peoples, nations, and languages will worship him. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Philippians, "At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth." Everyone will have to admit on the last day that Jesus is the Lord God. You will do so in love. The unbelievers will do it in fear. And Daniel saw that his dominion is an eternal dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will not be destroyed. In Revelation 5, every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea cried out, just like we do at every communion Sunday, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever." The Son of Man in Daniel's vision is obviously the Son of Man, the Savior, the Son of God, Jesus, the Christ of God, who left the glory of heaven to come into our world of sin and sorrow so that he could suffer and die for our sins. The prophet Daniel and the prophet Ezekiel were both sent to captive Israel in Babylon and then in Persia. The Israelites there, who had been taken from the promised land, were spiritually lost. They felt defeated, like the Lord had abandoned them, and that they would never see the promised land again or the Lord's Christ. In other words, they felt a lot like we do. We often feel alone. The flock is small. The world is big and dominant and a bully. They are not interested in the discussion. It's just their way or you're ostracized. We feel like we are the only ones interested in and holding on to the Word of God. And maybe we are. But what we need is to actually read this word that we claim to love so much. See the truth of what we are seeing in the world and realize what the Lord is doing and what he has in store for those who reject him and in store for those who love him, his dearly loved and redeemed people. And this is what's in store for us. This right here, this story, this vision, this dream. The Father rules all things, and the Son will judge all things. That's the long and short of Daniel's vision. Jesus said in John's Gospel, The Father judges no one, but has entrusted all judgment to the Son, so that all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. Whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Amen, amen, I tell you. Anyone who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He is not going to come into judgment, but has crossed over from life to death. Crossed over from death to life, rather. This week is Thanksgiving. And it is a really good thing to give thanks for. This vision that Daniel sees. Certainly you should give thanks for your faith and your health and your family and your home. But don't forget to give thanks for the freedom of religion that we have in this country, where we can worship without interference from government. Give thanks for the smallness of our churches. It helps the world overlook us. Our smallness protects us from persecution. As the world sees that we are not big enough, we are not influential enough for them to bother with. The Lord knows what he's doing. For the Lord not only protects us with his power, but he protects us with his smallness, that we may live quiet lives and serve him and our neighbor, and then spread the gospel to our neighbor, one soul at a time, as the Lord gives us opportunity. The Lord Jesus lives and he rules all things, and we are his people. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.